Let me begin this morning by reading some passages from the Old and New Testament. And I just want to invite you to listen. They're not up on the screen. I'm not even telling you where they're from because I just want to invite you to listen. And I want to invite you to see if there isn't some pattern or some theme here that begins to make itself clear to you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And one more. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Renewal is everywhere in the Scriptures. Perhaps especially in the life of Jesus, you can't read about Christ and not see the old being made new. Eyes that were dark can see. Limbs that no longer moved gain movement. Skin that had succumbed to disease was washed clean. But it wasn't just arms and eyes and skin. People's very lives turned from death to life. Tax collectors were given a new start. Prostitutes were welcomed and they belonged. The outcast and outsider were lifted up as the example. The enemy was invited to sit at the table. In fact, renewal is so deeply a part of the life and work of Jesus that when a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread come into contact with his limitless energy, they end up feeding thousands. Lazarus gets up out of the tomb. A young girl rises from her deathbed when they encounter the living Christ. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Now, the cynic among us, and I will confess to you, I can easily fall into cynicism. Cynic among us will say, "Hey, those are fine stories, but there's plenty of death and destruction around if you hadn't noticed." And I would agree that's true. Systemically, individually, this world can be a mess. But if you have eyes to see, and this is what Jesus is calling us to, look, he says. If we have eyes to see, we begin to notice that in the midst of the mess and chaos, renewal is all around. We've been working on an upstairs bathroom, and part of that involved moving a very large hot water radiator. We have hot water heat in our home, not forced air heat. And we had a radiator in our bathroom that was probably four and a half feet long. I'm guessing weighs 300 to 400 pounds. And so when one is in need of lifting heavy things, you call Matt Overman, a good friend of mine. Matt's here. Matt was the guy taking the kids downstairs. And Matt comes over, and we just have to move it over a couple of feet, not far. And one, two, three, he says, and we lift, and we get it over. And it's not until we put it down that I realize that my pinky is underneath one of the legs of the radiator. I thought I had grabbed it up and in a little further where it's off the ground, but no, I had my pinky underneath, and twist, turn, pull, and you know, this starts to happen. And Matt comes over and says, "Oh, well, that's going to fall off, you know." Actually, he was much more sympathetic and kind and compassionate in the moment. But sure enough, it did. It fell off. I've never had a fingernail fall off. If you have, you probably know. It looks really weird. When you have a finger without a fingernail, it's weird looking. In fact, I would find myself kind of hiding it, you know, tucking it in my back pocket. And I thought, what happens if this thing doesn't grow back? You know, am I going to be ostracized? Okay. My mind goes to you know, weird places sometimes. But it did. It started to grow back, millimeter by slow millimeter. And I've been really marveling at it. It's weird. But true. How does my body know how to grow a fingernail again? Oh, sure, a fingernail falls off, it grows another one. Simple. Is it? It's really, really remarkable. Our bodies constantly renewing themselves. And the cynic says, yeah, but, you know, sometimes our bodies aren't renewed, and sometimes death wins, and it does. The world's not as it should be. And yet, if we have eyes to see, there's renewal happening everywhere. A little over 9 years ago, my wife Bethany was going into labor with our fourth and final child. And on that night, she was starting to have contractions. I got a phone call from someone I don't get a lot of phone calls from, and so I picked up. And as soon as I did, I knew that things were not okay. And he went on to tell me through tears that he had made a number of choices that could end up destroying his family, his career. So we talked for a bit, but we had a child coming, so we went to the hospital. And a few days later, I sat down with him and his wife. And they had a really hard conversation, the one of many, many conversations to come. But over the coming months and years, and I do mean years, slowly, after a lot of hard work and a ton of grace, this relationship that had been damaged deeply, was on the verge of collapse, began to be made new. And 6 years later, 6 years after that night when I got that phone call, I got an email from the wife. So, Chris, I'm sitting here in my living room where the three of us sat 6 years ago. That night, we didn't know if we'd make it, and there were many, many moments in the weeks ahead in which it looked like we wouldn't. But slowly, over time, change came to me, to him, to us. Today, our relationship has a depth it never had before. Can you believe it? She asked me the question. Can you believe it? And when I read that, there was a part of me that wanted to say, no, I can't actually believe it. I sat with you in that living room, you're right, and I wondered if there was any chance. So part of me can't believe that out of the ashes and dirt, something new has sprung up out of it. I can't believe it on the one hand, and yet there it is, renewal happening right in front of us. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So Jesus says to us, look, do you have eyes to see it? Sometimes I don't think we do. Sometimes I think our eyes are programmed to only see what is wrong, what isn't going well, what could be better. We lack the vision and the imagination of renewal. So Jesus is inviting us to look again and to see the potential, because it is there right in the middle of the brokenness and the chaos. And that's not true for just the world out there. It's also true for you. When Jesus says, I'm making everything new, everything includes your life. God's promise is that your life, in all of its brokenness and chaos, will be renewed. that your fear will be turned to trust. That the false image you so desperately try to maintain to the world will be let go of. That your addictions will be overcome and your hate will be transformed to love and your bitterness to compassion and your cynicism to hope. This is the promise of renewal that God gives to us. If you're like me, though, you wonder how. As nice as that sounds, how does that renewal actually come to us? How do we change? Well, here's what we're going to do over the coming weeks as we start this series on renewal. Today, I want to remind us of a pattern for change that has been passed down through the millennia. It's a pattern we encountered a couple years ago when we were looking at a book called The Good and Beautiful God by James Bryan Smith. If you were here a couple years ago, you might remember that. And we're going to revisit that process together. And then in the next 5 weeks after that, we're going to ask ourselves, how do we take that process? Again, he didn't create it. It's been passed down for millennia. How do we take that process and apply it to our lives in such a way that we begin to look like a reflection of Jesus? How do we experience renewal? Because here's the thing, the reason we're asking this question together, the reason we're taking a number of weeks to even think about this, is because one of the fundamental reasons that we exist as a church, if you want to know why the branch is here, if you want to know what it's all for and why we're even spending the energy and the time that we do, a main central reason is so that you would experience renewal, that your life would be changed. That is a fundamental reason why we exist, because we believe that if you are changed and if I am changed, if our lives are renewed, then we find ourselves having the character and the capacity to go out and be a part of God's renewal in the world. And so today, again, we're going to look at this process. And on most or some of the seats around you, there was a little half sheet of paper. Mike talked about one of them, about stewards. The other one is for the message today. And if you're a note taker, you may want to grab that and fill in some blanks as we go along. So James Bryan Smith lays out this process again. It's been passed down forever, and it's been used by all sorts of Christians around the world. And here's the first part of this process that leads to renewal. If you want to be someone who changes your life, you have to adopt the narratives of Jesus. Human beings love stories, don't we? Anybody seen a good movie lately? Of course you have, because you love movies. Anybody watching a favorite new show on Netflix? Yes, of course you are, because you love stories. We love to get swept up in a compelling narrative. We read stories to our children. We tell stories around the campfire. Political campaigns are endlessly talking about getting the right narrative. We love a good story. But it's more than that. It's more than just loving stories. It's also that we're shaped by them. I think that's why Jesus taught primarily through story, not lecture, not systematic theology. He taught through story because he knew that the stories that we let take root in our mind shape what we believe and what we do. Let's say the owner of the company that you work for sends through email a meeting request. And you have no idea why this meeting request has been sent to you. In fact, come to think of it, the owner has never actually sent you a meeting request before. And suddenly here's a request to meet on Friday at 1 o'clock. What do you start doing immediately? You start trying to figure out why, right? You start making up a story, or maybe many stories, about what could be going on with this meeting request. And it's quite possible that one of the stories that you tell yourself is that you've done something wrong. There can't be any other reason, you say. Why else? We've never had a meeting before. Maybe they found out that I accidentally made a couple personal copies, or I maybe took some staples home because we were out of them and I didn't have time to go to Office Depot. What's happening? I don't know, you know? And so this story starts to become developed in your mind. And as that story develops, guess what? You become anxious. By Tuesday night, you can't sleep. By Wednesday, you've lost your appetite. And Thursday, your hair is falling out, right? It is downhill and downhill fast. Because stories, when they take root in our heart and in our mind, begin to shape what we believe and what we do. See, if you believe that God is an angry judge, and chances are most of us still carry bits and pieces of that narrative, if that's the story that you have about who God is, then I absolutely guarantee you it shapes the way you think and the way you operate in this world. If you have a narrative that you've adopted that the only way you will be loved is if you perform, of course, none of us have that narrative. But if you did, hypothetically, I promise you it will shape the way you believe and the way you act in this world. Which is why the Bible tells us that we have to change our minds if we hope to be renewed. This was one of the more kind of like moments for me a number of years ago when I realized that spiritual transformation begins in the mind. Paul writes, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape what you think, believe, and do. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So here's a question I want to ask. And I actually want to ask four questions today. They line up with the four parts of this process for renewal. And the first question is this. These are all very practical questions. And if you're filling in blanks, here's your first couple. What do I need to do to get Jesus' narratives in me? I promise you that you have narratives that you've adopted. That's not in question. You have narratives that you've adopted and that shape what you think and how you act. How do you get Jesus' narratives into you? How do those narratives take root? Are you even aware of what they are? Maybe that's actually the question. How do I learn about what Jesus' narratives are? How do I learn the story that he tells? What do I need to do to get Jesus' narratives in me? If you're not sure how to answer that question, good news. What's coming next might be helpful to you. These two go hand in hand because really the second part of the process is to train your soul. Adopting the narratives of Jesus and training your soul. Let me read this passage from 1 Timothy. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Stories. Right? Paul knows that stories shape us. He says, don't have anything to do with those. Train yourself to be godly. Train yourself. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Train yourself. This is one of four occasions when Paul compares our lives to that of an athlete. And as we know, the daily practices and exercises of an athlete, or a professional musician if you prefer, aren't terribly glamorous. Training, in fact, is often quite difficult, monotonous, and stretching. But it is precisely training that shapes mind and muscle in such a way that when the time for calling comes, when it comes time to step up and into your role, you're ready and able to do it. Dallas Willard writes this about this whole idea. He says, a baseball player who expects to excel in the game without adequate exercise of his body is no more ridiculous than the Christian who hopes to act in the manner of Christ when put to the test without the appropriate exercise in godly living. Would we expect a professional baseball player to reach that level, the pinnacle of their career, and perform at that high level if they weren't training and exercising? Of course not. That'd be ridiculous, we would say. Silliness. The same is true for the Christian who thinks that they can be like Christ in the moment without also doing those things that train their soul. See, here's the real kind of risk. We easily think that we can be like Jesus by trying to be like him. That willpower is enough and effort can get you there. If I just want to be patient, if I just try really hard today to be patient, that will do it. Does it? Well, my experience is no, not really, or only to a point. To really have my character, my soul changed, it requires something more. And Christians have understood this for a very long time, which is why they have entered into all sorts of what we call maybe spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices to help train their souls. So here's the second question. What step can I take to train for renewal? Here's a reality you and I have to own. We are all training for something. This is something we don't like to admit, but it's true. We're all becoming something, someone. No one stays the same. We're always becoming someone that we're not quite at this moment. And maybe it's more of the same. Maybe there aren't dramatic shifts, but that just means we're becoming more rooted, more of who we already are. We're always becoming someone. And we're becoming those kinds of people because of the practices and the rhythms of our life. Do you understand this? What you do every day, the practices and rhythms of your life are shaping who you become. So, if we want to become a certain kind of person who looks like Jesus, we're going to have to make sure that we have rhythms and practices that are moving us in that direction, that are training us for that kind of life. So what step can I take to train for renewal? I don't know what that might be for you. Maybe it's adding something new. Maybe it's changing something you already do. But what does this mean for you? The third piece of this process is to lean into community. You know, one of the consequences of American culture, at least a consequence on spiritual formation, is that we often think that spiritual formation renewal is an individualistic pursuit. I'll just carve out some time to pray. I'll read the Bible more. Both of which are great things, training your soul. We just talked about that, not discouraging you. But, you know, I'll just kind of manage it and take care of it. And the truth of the matter is that you cannot be renewed alone. I'll give you a couple really quick reasons why. At least these are true for me. I have to lean into community because I'm easily discouraged. Renewal, in other words, is hard work. Renewal requires you to face things about yourself that you don't want to face. Renewal requires that you go deep. And that often means you need to have somebody by your side. So I'm often discouraged. I often want to quit, want to chuck the whole thing. And I need people who are walking with me who can say, no, press on, friend, press on. And the other reason, two of many, I'm just giving you two that are really easy for me to name. I have to lean into community because I don't see myself clearly. I think I know myself and I don't. Or I do, but I've so fooled myself into thinking that I'm something else that I need other people in my life to say, hey, here's what's actually true, or here's what I see. We need each other. And so here's the third question I'll invite you to consider this morning. Who am I leaning into, and who am I allowing to lean into me? Who am I leaning into, and who am I allowing to lean into me? I hope that when you read that question, there are people that quickly pop into your mind, that you're sharing life with people in such a way and at such a level that you have folks around you who are walking with you in this process of renewal. If you don't, though, well, you're not alone, I promise you that. And I would say two things. One, maybe the task ahead of you is to really figure out who it is that could walk with you and to ask them to do that, to take a risk and to invite someone into your life at that kind of level. And another thing I'll offer is that in just a few weeks, we're going to start a number of small groups around here that are going to be based all on renewal. And if you're kind of looking at your life and going, I don't know who to ask, or I'm not sure who I could even approach, maybe the thing to do is to get into one of those groups and to let that group of people surround you, encourage you, support you. See, who am I leaning into and who am I allowing to lean into me? Here's the fourth piece of this puzzle, and it's really the thing on which everything hinges, surrendering to God's Spirit. Boy, renewal is a dance, and if you're like me, you got two left feet, you know. Dancing is difficult. But here's what I mean by it when I say that renewal is a dance. You see, I have a role to play in renewal. I can't just sit down on a couch and say, all right, God, do it, you know, and then, wah, the wand comes and I'm a different person. I have to participate. There are things for me to do, a role to play. And yet, at the same time, it's not all up to me. Yes, it requires my participation, and it requires my surrender. Yes, it requires my engagement and my mind and my will, and yet it also is far beyond my ability to do on my own. If you've ever tried to make good on a New Year's resolution or change a habit, you know how hard change is. And then if we're talking about renewing your character, about fundamentally becoming someone who has gone from death to life, a new creation, we're talking about that kind of change. Come on, can we just admit that we don't have the ability, the power to do that on our own? And so we have to be willing to surrender. Say, okay, God, I need help. Okay, God, show me what I can't see. Okay, God, give me the strength to move ahead. And so here's the fourth question to close up here today. What would it look like to surrender my life now, here, in this moment? What would it look like to surrender my life today? Before we pray, here's what I want to invite you to do. We talked about four significant things. Maybe you're feeling a strong conviction that all four of those things need your attention now. If so, so be it. Go after those things, all of them. But perhaps, as a human being who has limited energy, time, and capacity, maybe tackling all four at once would be a bit much. And so maybe one of those needs your attention more than another. Could you walk out of here today having answered one of the questions that we've asked? Could you walk out of here today saying, that one is the thing that I'm going to pay attention to in the coming weeks? Maybe it's around the narratives of Jesus. Maybe it's developing training for your soul. Maybe it has something to do with community. Maybe it's simply an act of surrender. And every day getting up out of bed and saying, God, this day is yours. Who do you want me to become? What do you want me to do? I don't know what it is for you, of course. I don't know which of those four, and maybe it's none of them. I don't know the right move to make for you. But I do know that God promises renewal for you. Paul says, don't lose heart. Even though we're wasting away on the outside. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. You know, I realize that. Thanks. Even though you're wasting away on the outside, every day, day by day, God is renewing you on the inside. If nothing else, grab a hold of that promise and hope today. Yes? Before we share this meal, let's pray together, and then we'll move into the gift of bread and cup. God, for the person here today who is hopeless, renew them so that they may leave here believing again that you have promised renewal. For the person who is disheartened, who perhaps has tried to change and come up shorter than they had hoped, God, may you give them strength to press on and to try again. For the person who doesn't know what to do, who feels stuck, who feels immobilized, God, may you help them surrender. For the person who's feeling joy and excitement because they can see how you are renewing them, God, may praise come from their lips. And for all of us, cement in our heart and mind, God, may the narrative of renewal, the promise that you make to us, take root deeply. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.